This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
We might have done the dumbest thing as a family yesterday that we've ever done.
I can't wait to hear this.
So the boys have been clamoring for a dog.
No, you didn't.
So we go to the pet store yesterday, take out this beautiful white Labrador. Can we play with that? Well, that has a sibling. And for some reason, my wife, who I love more than life itself, says, how can we separate a brother and sister? We are the proud owners, or unproud owners, of 2 9-week-old white Labrador retrievers.
This is DCR.
Uh-oh.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, goodness. I can't believe I just had to hear that again. Yes, they are upstairs barking. I didn't want to go upstairs. I'm not even going to get my reads today. I'm just going to read them right off the computer screen. I'm not going near the printer because I don't want to wake up these savage beasts. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You want to hear from Luis Rojas before we get into the New York Knicks?
Yeah, not really, but we should.
We probably should. All right, 800-919-3776. I am very underwhelmed in the Mets manager right now. Here we go. Luis Rojas, will kind of play him straight down. Santi, the first one on the decision to go ahead and start Stroman in that 9-pitch game yesterday.
We have a meeting room here in the building where we see forecasts and we talk to, you know, exclusive forecast expert as well. And that leads to the decision. So knowing that, you know, at the point that the forecast was telling us that it's, you know, we're going to get lighter rain to mist-like type of rain and we could get the game in starting on time. It was where, you know, the decision was, you know, led to go for it. And we met twice. I mean, we met, you know, a little earlier and then, you know, we met again like around noon to come back to the decision that we were going to go on time, and then we communicated with everyone just to be ready to play the game at 1:10. Obviously, it didn't turn out to be a light rain. It was more steady. It was heavier than what the forecast gave us, and that's why it came out as, you know, maybe right now it's a wrong decision, you know, but this is what we saw, what we got, and what we decided, and collaboration and in the room for what we were anticipating.
This is unbelievable stuff. They employ weather experts.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
So did he throw in the word collaboration just so everybody knew that it wasn't him making the decision? Is that what he was trying to do?
Correct.
He was trying to deflect a little bit.
Yeah, we have Ollie Williams on retainer. It's gonna rain. Be a light mist.
Oh God! What the heck is going on? You have an iPhone, right, guys?
Yeah.
Or a smartphone. When you looked at your smartphone yesterday, what did it say from like noon
rain.
On? Rain.
Like
heavy torrential rain, right?
Yeah. It's going to rain! It's like 90% rain or 100% rain. It's going to be a lot of rain.
Right.
Yeah.
Mine said the same thing. It's not funny, right?
So what was this exclusive weather expert that said, oh, it's only going to be a misting rain?
He comes running into the room. I got a tip. Rain. Nobody knows about this. It's going to be beautiful from 3 to 6.
Yeah, exclusive weather expert. Put his name on it, just so I know not to listen to his damn forecast.
Right?
Yeah.
You just heard it. Ollie Williams. Give it to him, Santi.
It's going to rain!
No, that was appropriate. Their weather expert told him, no, there's going to be a break in the rain. Get this game in. You'll have time. Pitch Stroman. Go.
Yeah, it was a bad decision.
Terrible.
I mean, he eventually got to saying that it was a bad decision, but... Yeah, I do. I mean, what aggravates you the most is that now all of a sudden you burn Stroman.
Yeah, you burned your number two starter. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's so stupid.
The fact that they did that.
If that was David Peterson or Joey Lucchese, you know,
whatever.
I could live with it. This is your number. This is your second best guy, and you don't trust all that many guys in this rotation right now.
All that many guys?
Yeah.
You probably trust three guys.
Yeah, I'd say three: Walker, Stroman, and DeGrom.
Yeah, but last time I checked, there's a 5-man rotation, correct?
That's what I'm saying. I don't trust.
Okay, so if you only trust three
guys.
Of them, why would you're burning one of them?
Well, I said nothing wrong. Why are you attacking me?
I'm not attacking you. I'm attacking the decision. It was a terrible
decision. No, your tone was a bit adversarial with Dave. You're projecting that on Dave. Dave didn't make the decision yesterday.
Yeah,
for the
it wasn't
Mets
me.
To
I wouldn't
game.
Play. We didn't play the game we had scheduled for yesterday.
Well, look at. Congratulations. You made the smart move. They did not.
No,
what do you want me to tell you?
That's what I'm looking for. They certainly did not. Let's go to Roy in Patterson. Good morning, Roy. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, man. Give me a call. I wanted to find out, and I just get your thoughts on this. What about us having an opener go in for DeGrom as opposed to having him start off the games himself, especially with a crappy bullpen like what we have here? I want to get your thoughts on that. And the second thing is, I don't consider Justin Wilson really to be any – Zach Wilson, rather, to be any better than Daniel Jones. And we see what happened with them for the Giants after two seasons. Wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. And thank you very much. Have yourself a great day.
No, thank you for the call. Well, a couple things. We'll start with the football, I guess, and then get back to the baseball. Not much better than Daniel Jones. We don't know anything about either of these guys.
Nothing.
I think the jury is completely out on both of these guys. We have no idea.
No, Daniel Jones had a good rookie year. Everyone was impressed with his rookie season. And then he regressed last season for a bunch of different reasons. But, I mean, you're right. The jury's still out on him. We'll find out more this season with, you know, the moves that the Giants have made. And as far as the Mets having an opener for Jacob DeGrom, that's not the issue. The issue is scoring him runs.
I wouldn't mess with Jacob DeGrom.
No.
DeGrom do what he does. You know what I mean? He's not the issue. The bullpen and the lineup being able to score some runs, that's the bigger issue. When he makes his start,
should be the least of your concerns.
Yeah,
we still gave you 8 innings,
right? Eight innings. Yeah, so don't try to fix anything.
Don't try to fix something that's not broke, though.
I guess that's my whole point. 8 innings of one run ball,
14 Ks, no walks.
Right.
Yeah, he did his job.
Try to fix it.
Now you stay away from Jacob DeGrom. Let him keep doing whatever he's doing.
When did you know on Saturday that it was going to be a disaster, Rick?
When did I know it was going to be a disaster?
Well, I'll tell you when. First inning. First and third, nobody out, and they get nothing. I was like, here we go. They're going to struggle to score runs, and of course they did.
Yeah, I'm not as negative as you are, so I waited a couple more innings.
Uh-huh. But
yeah, I mean, it did not. At any point in that game, it didn't look like the Mets were all of a sudden going to snap out of it. They had three hits.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, three hits. And I believe DeGrom had had one of them.
Of course he did. Let's hear more from the manager, Luis Rojas. Can Stroman now pitch on short rest after you gave him the start yesterday?
No, we don't know that. You know, he came out, you know, ready. We, you know, burned him today. We don't have to come back out and play the game and go with our relievers. We should, you know, we were ready if it was the case. But unfortunately, you know, you never want to do that to Stro. You know, the decision was made because we felt that we were going to go through and play the game and we were going to be able to use Stro the distance. So, but we'll see in the next few days how his response whether it's to come back early or do his 5-day thing. So, you know, we'll definitely reassess with that.
Well, I think Stroman answered that question. If you saw what he tweeted, he's taking his regular rest. He's not gonna.
He was livid. Good for. I think.
Well,
he's right.
But here's the thing, though, Dave. Here's the thing, though, too. I mean, DeGrom pitched 8 innings. You didn't use your bullpen. If there was a thought, like you said, I mean, if we start the game and we play a couple innings, at some point it's going to rain hard enough. We're going to have to shut this thing down.
Right.
For who knows how long. So I mean, if that's the case, you're going to lose Stroman after a couple innings anyway. So why not go into that game making it, you know, we'll have an opener, we'll go to a bullpen game. Like, have that be the plan and push Stroman back. If that was your mindset. If you just told us that you were set up that if you had to go mostly bullpen, you could go mostly bullpen. We'll go in with that then.
Everyone was fresh outside of Diaz. By the way, just to let you know, it's supposed to rain today. So I don't
know. It's gonna rain.
If the weather experts are gonna notice this, but I on my iPhone I have rain. 7 o'clock, 80%, 8 o'clock, 80%, 9 o'clock, 80%.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
That's a big FYI for the Mets and their weather experts.
It's an exclusive weather expert.
Exclusive weather expert.
Exclusive to the Mets.
No one else. The best is the computer folk.
Yeah, the best is like we have a room. We have a room where we all get together. We have the forecast and we have an exclusive forecaster.
Like a big Doppler. I'm going to close the door quickly. Why? We don't want anybody else to see. The weather expert likes to keep it in this room alone. Weather experts.
This is confidential.
Exclusive weather experts. Like no one else could possibly know what's happening there with the weather.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like the fact that they burned Stroman. This is what aggravates me the most.
He was livid. Jake in the car. Jake, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey guys, how's it going? I just completely agree with your point that Rojas is in way over his head. He looks way out of his depth out there. And the reason I think that they kept him on was just to be a fall guy for ownership, for the new ownership, in case things go sideways this season. They just want someone to be able to throw under the bus, and that's the only reason that Rojas is still here. So thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call. Why would you need a fall guy for a team that everyone thinks is going to win 90-plus games this year, though?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a fall guy, but I mean, if the first... One of the initial things that Steve Cohen said when he bought the team, right, was that, and Sandy Alderson kind of reiterated the same point, is they wanted to be the East Coast version of the Dodgers. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen how Dave Roberts manages. That is not Dave Roberts on his own managing the Dodgers.
No.
There's a lot of front office influence into what Dave Roberts does. Because if there wasn't, he'd have been fired. I mean, he'd have been
fired.
Well,
the way he manages in the World Series, yeah, he would have been out years ago.
Exactly right. So I think that I think it's more of that than having this set up as a fall guy, is where the front office wants to be.
Yeah,
involved.
He's the mouthpiece for the front office. Yes,
exactly right. And he's just because he's happy to be the manager of the Mets, he's willing to do that and to have, you know, to take the blame for the decisions that are being made above his head.
It's a disaster. He feels like he is way in over his head. Let's go to Alan Holbrook. Good morning, Al. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Quick statement and a question. The statement is, I'm a Yankee fan, so it really doesn't matter that much to me. But it sucks that DeGrom will go to the Hall of Fame and my kids will look at his record and wonder why is he there, not knowing how dominant a pitcher he was through his whole career. I mean, you can make the case that he's probably the best of all time. With PED, he's pitching through PED. I'm sure it's still going on to some degree. And, you know, all the scientific guys taking care of their bodies, and he's still the best pitcher 5 years straight, you know. So it just sucks that he gets zero run support. And I'm a Yankee fan, but I still see that. And the question is, the Knicks are doing what they're supposed to do. Are they a point guard with great vision away from doing some real damage, as in maybe Ball from the Pelicans? What do you guys think?
I think it would make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think having Kyle Lowry would make a huge difference.
I don't know what your definition of doing major damage is, but it would make them a much better team.
I think they'll be a team that's not only capable of going to the playoffs, but winning a playoff series.
I agree.
If they had a point guard that could be a difference maker, somebody that can organize the offense, create shot opportunities for themselves and for others, I think that's what makes them a team that can advance to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, there's a lot to like with this Knicks team. Like, they hit a little bit of a lull the last 3 or 4 weeks, and then it seemed like they're starting to come out of it now. And then winning these games over the course of this weekend to get back to 500 and being, what, a game out of fifth place in the Eastern Conference?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Knicks are in a good spot right now. I like what Thibodeau is doing. This program is ahead of schedule. But the thing that I like the most is the development of the young players, and R.J. Barrett just seems like he's getting more confident with each and every game that's passing.
He's a good player. He is a good basketball player right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Chris, big win for your New York Yankees yesterday. I'm sure if they had lost that game yesterday, you would have been near panic this morning on the show.
Dave, before we even get back to my Yankees, I can't believe you're not even going to acknowledge what happened this weekend with DMX and him passing and everybody showing the love about how influential he was to the culture. Like, you got to talk about DMX, right?
Well,
don't we have to
do that with
Ray Santiago having to rejoin music a couple of times?
Well,
we don't even mention it?
I didn't even know that was DMX, to be honest. I'm not going to lie to you.
You don't know DMX's music?
I do know DMX. I didn't know that was DMX.
Okay. Yonkers very own, Dave.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And he passed away at White Plains Hospital, actually. Terrible. Terrible story. 50 years old.
Yeah,
that's
we're going to celebrate his life and celebrate his legacy, which is his music and his films. And you know, DMX was a big part of my pregame routines in high school and college. I mean, essentially, he was the soundtrack of my college career, just how big his music was and you know, just kind of how he got you hyped with all of the beats and the hardcore lyrics, man. But I love DMX, and he's somebody that's going to be missed. Rest in peace, send thoughts and prayers to the family. But I mean, in terms of rappers that were huge and influential to the culture, I mean, DMX is right up there with the greatest of all time.
I would be hard pressed to, but Chris, I'd be hard pressed to imagine that there weren't almost every athlete. I don't want to speak for every athlete, but I know myself personally. You, how many athletes had that on whatever they listened to get themselves fired up for a game?
Oh, 100%.
Like there had to be 100%. At least one DMX song on that mix. Had to be.
Stop. Drop.
Yes.
Shut them down. Open up shop. Oh, that's
would
a classic.
Would you say he was like DMX, one universally listened to rapper in the locker room?
Yeah.
He was the one.
Yeah.
There's nobody
that didn't like DMX. Nobody, Dave.
Yeah, DMX is one of those ones where if you're in the locker room and you're having like a, like you come in, maybe you're a little bit tired and like it's like a Tuesday night game and it's like, ugh, back to back. All of a sudden that plays in the locker room and you're like, okay, all right.
You got a little energy, a little juice.
Yeah, you're starting to get your head right a little bit. Get you fired up. Absolutely get you fired up. That's DMX, not BMX. That's DMX. That's what that was.
Yeah.
So you know. How do you not know that's a DMX song?
I thought it was. Well, I thought it was, but I wasn't 100% sure. And I don't want to be the guy that comes on and is like, oh, gets into it. And you're like, well, why are you mentioning this now? That wasn't even DMX. So I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
I prefer the way Chris handled it. I have no, listen, you can do that. I have no issues.
No, you did the right thing. Lay it out and let us bring it up, Dave.
Could you imagine that if I come on like, boy, you know, DMX. You're like, well, why are you mentioning it now? Like, well, this is DMX. No, this is not. That would have been worse than what just happened.
No, but I would add it to the list. I mean, you know, that's like Magic Johnson territory when you killed Canty. All of a sudden you come in.
No. Magic Johnson was awful. Magic Johnson was probably one of the worst things I've done. I didn't kill Canty. And the DMX thing was a nothing. That wasn't a bad mistake.
I said nothing wrong. Why are you attacking me?
Yeah. You're always attacking.
Well, just listen. You know what's coming. You know, listen, just deal with it. You know what's going to happen. Take
but I don't
it.
Know why. I don't know why. Why can't we all get along?
Why. Is that any fun? That if we all just get along for 3 hours every single day?
I think it would be nice
day?
If we got along, yes.
No. That's not what people want to hear.
No.
People don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear us get along. You remember what Buster Olney said? He said, listen, I go on the K-Show. I know when that thing stops that those guys are friends and they get along. I think when you guys stop, you go at it constantly. Is that really what the image that you want portrayed to be?
No, that's not the image. Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, do they... Are they really? I mean, are they really that close in the K show?
Very close.
Mm. Are we sure about that?
Mm. Very tight.
They're talking about having conflicting Super Bowl parties. Michael doesn't want to go to Don's pool party. I mean, there's a lot going on there. Don doesn't show up to Super Bowl parties. There's some friction.
Don has some issues.
There's some friction. I'm just saying. There's some friction.
You think? You think they have less friction on their show than we do on ours?
Well, we actually have three people that talk during the show. So I mean, the illusion of more friction could be the case.
Shots fired!
Wow,
shots fired!
As opposed to the two, those two gang up on Michael all the time, Those two gang up
all the time. I mean, it must pain you to no end.
This is why I got to text Michael during the show. I got to help.
People would make fun of the great Michael Kay.
It's un-American.
It's un-American.
It ain't right.
He says, "I don't like it, huh?"
At least Michael was smart enough to just get the one dog as opposed to somebody I know.
Ugh. Idiot. I can hear them now.
Where did Sammy come from? I know Barkley. Why Sammy?
Yeah. It's a great question. It had to be Giants related, of course. We're running through the team. And I had Taylor as a little kid. And then Carson was the dog that we had that passed away 2 years ago. And now we went with two more. Barkley, for obvious reasons. Sammy. And Chris, I think you'll appreciate this. The great linebacker, Sam Huff.
Sam Huff.
Yes.
Yeah, I figured that.
Right? You like that?
Yeah, I like it.
Because I thought it was multiple reasons. First of all, it's a cute name for a girl dog, Sammy. And secondly, it allows me to teach the boys about Giants history.
I mean, you couldn't name one of the dogs Canty. He was a Giant. Won a Super Bowl.
I could have, but I think you don't think.
But I didn't start out as a Giant, though, Rico.
It's a good point. You are a cowboy.
I'm not homegrown.
But you don't think that would be
I was a mercenary.
If we named one of the dogs after someone that I work with every day. Like Canty pooped in the bedroom.
Yeah, that's
tonight.
A little awkward, Rico. I mean, next thing you know, Dave is going to be lurking outside of my apartment. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Guess what happened last night? Yeah. What? Canty vomited all over himself. Oh, no. Like, no.
That could lead to some confusion.
Right?
Yeah, we're going to go take Canty to get loose. Spayed.
Canty ran away again. That'd be terrible. No.
Can't he help my leg yesterday?
That's right. It would be.
Wow.
That's right.
Somebody call HR.
Can't he's now spayed. What?
Who named Barkley? Was the kid's name Barkley then?
We kind of had a family meeting where I pushed Barkley.
I think Dave made the dogs coming home like contingent upon him being able to name the dogs.
Sammy was almost Kobe, actually.
Really?
Sammy was this close to Kobe. I would have signed on in a heartbeat on Kobe.
Okay. So you weren't going to just make it Giants name.
I think Kobe's a great name and an honorary name at this point.
All right. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
But Ben's very difficult. He's 14, and he doesn't like to agree on anything. So
but you have a hockey show, and you pretend to be a Rangers fan. At some point, we can't get an animal that you name after a Ranger?
I said Messier, but that's a terrible name for
him. What about Hank? Hank?
Hank's okay.
That's a good. That's a good boy dog.
Terrible.
Name, Hank.
It's not terrible.
Could go with that.
You could go with that.
Foxy,
Leechy, Foxy. Foxy's a weird name, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually like the names. I like Sammy for the girl. I think that's a good name.
It's a cute name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sammy works.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm surprised you're not beating me up over that. Guest on DCR Peer via the Goodyear Hotline. Can we get to the Yankees, or is there somewhere else you guys want to go?
We can talk about the Yankees.
He's such a bad guy.
I mean,
what do you mean?
He just wants to bring it up. He just wants to bring it up because he doesn't want to bash his team for 3 hours. That's what he's doing.
Such a bad guy.
How am I a bad guy? That was a big win for the Yankees yesterday. Let's hear from Aaron Boone. Hopefully there's a nickname for is it? How do you say this name, by the way? I don't want to mess it up and have a drop played for me. The new acquisition from the Rangers.
Roughneck Odor?
Roughneck Odor.
I call him Roughneck Odor.
We could have named the dog.
The way he hit Joey Bats. Call him Roughneck.
We could have named the dog Roughneck, but we decided against that. All right, here is Aaron Boone on the big hit from Odor yesterday.
I just really love to compete today with the guys, you know. And I thought, you know, even though we hadn't gotten that big hit or, you know, that backbreaker to break a game open, I thought we were in the fight up and down the order all game long. And then great at bat by Ruby there to keep battling, to fight one off, and then to add some important add-on runs, you know, when obviously we're depleted in the bullpen today. Just some really good finishing at bats and winning at bats there at the end. So great job by the guys.
So it's Ruge. That's another
name
too, that last name,
Ruge.
Where you can't make the wrong decision. That can't be a Richard. You can't name him.
No, you can't name him.
Can you imagine that?
You cannot name him.
Richard Oder?
It's all bad. It's all bad. Your name
that
is what?
Tough
Excuse
one.
Me?
Excuse me?
Don't be a Rick.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the thing, though, with the Yankees, though, Dave. And again, just for Chris Canty, forget just Yankees fans. Chris Canty, if they had lost that game, and I'll repeat myself, after what happened in the ninth inning with Brett Gardner and everything else, Canty would have had a nervous breakdown.
I wouldn't have had a nervous breakdown. Stop. Give me a little bit of credit. This is not 2018 Canty. I'm much more mature in my Yankee fandom now.
He's an engaged Canty.
Yeah, I'm much more mature now. I wouldn't have panicked, but again, I would bring that word annoying back into the mix. Had they lost that game yesterday, I would have been annoyed.
Okay, but here's the issue, though, is you still weren't good with runners in scoring position pretty much the 10th inning of that game.
No, what are they, 4-15 with runners in scoring position yesterday?
Yeah, but I think up to that point, they were 1-10.
Yeah.
So that was still a problem. LeMahieu has not been good in those situations.
No. And he hit into a double play yesterday.
But you don't worry about LeMahieu.
No, I don't. But that's, again, you're not used to seeing that. But the main point is that you're still dealing with the issues that Yankees fans are most concerned with, is not getting the big hit in big moments, and your starting pitching has not been great. There's a reason why your bullpen was taxed.
That's right.
Because Kluber wasn't good, Roman wasn't good,
nope.
And Montgomery wasn't really good, but at least he gave you 5 innings.
Right. You have one guy now. You have one guy that you look at and you say, okay, Gerrit Cole, ace, no worries, that's it. But that's all you have right now is the one guy.
And you like what you're seeing from Taillon so far, but I mean, again, you're going to have to get one of these guys to give you some innings.
Right, but even he didn't get out of the fifth, right?
But that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to get some innings from somebody. Somebody's going to be able to have to pitch into at least the sixth and hopefully the seventh. And right now, outside of Gerrit Cole, you don't have confidence of anybody being able to do that.
I will say, though, Chapman looks pretty filthy.
Yeah, he's
Oh, that split finger fastball, too? Add that to the arsenal? Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Yeah, he is filthy. Their bullpen is, I mean, and when they get healthy, that bullpen, oof, terrifying.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it's at some point, though, I mean, you're trying to win a World Series. You can't get into the same problem that you've been over the last couple of years, whereas your bullpen is gassed by the time you need them the most in the postseason.
Yeah, and pitching 15 innings over a three-game set during the weekend.
It's too much.
That's a way to burn out your bullpen.
It's too much. Your bullpen is in more than your starters are in. That's unheard of. Should not be like that.
And they've been way better than your starters. Outside of Gerrit Cole. Your bullpen's been great.
It's not even close.
A defense, too, has been a problem. Yeah, that's the interesting part, though, too, with both of these teams. Is like we go into these seasons, like we try to break down what's going to happen with both of these teams. You know, whether, you know, the Yankees are going to win the AL East, what are the Mets going to do in the NL East, what are some of the things that could hold them up, problems, strengths, and everything else. And you go into the season, and we're early on in the season. The Yankees have played, you know, 9 games. It's amazing that the couple things that you feel like could hold this team back, you're already seeing them.
Right away.
Yeah. Right away.
With both of these teams.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Uh-huh. Canty, you know who this is?
Yes, Dave, I know who this is.
So do
I. You know who this is.
So do I.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, I do. Tried to sneak one past before, but now I'm wise to your game, Santiago. Here I go. Here I go. 800-919-3776.
You about to lay down some lyrics?
Can you
got bars
that?
For us, Dave?
If what I started you, rapping, no. I think we'd lose everybody. It'd be terrible. Here I go.
Roth Adamus on the beat.
That's right. I don't think I would be a good rapper.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Dave. I would agree with you, yeah.
Rick, you don't think I'd be good, right?
Are we talking about like singing rapping or rapping presence?
Cause, both.
Because Canty's not good at that either. The rapping presence.
I'm terrible at both. I'm terrible at RAP and WRAP. Both of them. All bad.
Yeah, no, I look like something's wrong with me when I rap a present. Like I got jagged edges. I got tape hanging over everything. No, it's a bad look.
That could be one of the most frustrating things, though. Like I'll sit there for like 20 minutes trying to wrap a present. I'm done with it. It looks like I cut the wrapping paper with my teeth. Like, it's just awful looking. Yeah. And yeah, then my mother-in-law does it.
But I'm sure Cassie can wrap
enough,
like,
why
like,
should
like
you
a
have
champion,
to wrap
right?
it, though?
Well, no. My mother-in-law comes in. You give her the present. It comes back. Every edge is perfect.
Yep.
And it takes her like 3 minutes.
90 seconds. Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
It's very frustrating. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All right. Let's start it up. A little Kenny and Canty.
Everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
You know, maybe Dave's more in tune with R&B and hip-hop than we know. That Jagged Edge reference, I got to think maybe that wasn't thrown in just by chance by Dave.
Oh, please.
No shot Dave knows who Jagged Edge is. No chance.
I'm a big J.E. guy.
Oh, but well said. I think everybody had a weekend of bumping some X over the weekend, so RIP to DMX. So we're going to start this a little different this week. And don't answer, because you might know the answer. We're going to answer this at the end. But Rich Cimini mentioned this in his article, who we'll chat with at 7:30. Can you, again, don't answer, name the last quarterback drafted by the Jets to make a Pro Bowl in a Jets uniform? And we will come back to that at the end. Maybe you can, maybe you cannot. So, maybe you've heard of Randy Mueller. He was NFL Executive of the Year in 2000. He said on Darian Mel, ESPN Radio, over the weekend, that Zach Wilson is more pro-ready than Trevor Lawrence.
The instincts that he showed, the anticipation that he shows, I just think he's further along in a pro scheme of development. He's going to throw people open. He throws a lot of balls that I think Trevor Lawrence will be able to throw and physically can throw them in that system at Clemson. He just hasn't been forced to make those. So I just see a little more instinctive, ready to go right now in Zach Wilson. But I also think Trevor Lawrence has more upside, like I said, because of the physical skill set.
All right, I'll keep it simple. Can we call Zach Wilson more anything than Trevor Lawrence?
No, we can't call him that. And I get where Randy Mueller is coming from, because Clemson didn't have to ask Trevor Lawrence to do everything. There's a lot of talent on that football team, and I can understand why Coach Satake out there in BYU would you know, open up the playbook, because Zach Wilson was going to have to elevate the talent around him in order for that team to win football games. So I can understand why you would see more of an arsenal of throws from Zach Wilson, but make no mistake about it, there's nothing on a football field that Zach Wilson is better at than Trevor Lawrence.
I would agree with Chris 100%. I don't even know how you can make a statement like that. In fact, I was talking to Santiago about this before the show. He became angry that someone would say something like that. So, no, absolutely not. You can't.
Yeah, I agree. I hope, but I don't want to mess around with this game. I want to keep it legit. So I got to say Canty.
All right. Well, any chance we get to play this?
Kulani Sutaki.
That's right. That's right. All right. Rick mentioned this earlier. Hideki Matsuyama is your 2021 Masters champ. Now, I want you to hear this. Rick referenced it from Scott Van Pelt and Andy North. This is from Saturday going into
the
final round.
Brother.
That's right. When speaking about Matsuyama's hopes of winning the green jacket.
Andy, you are not prone to hyperbole, but when you say the following, people are going to go, wait a minute, did I hear him right? Yes. But explain why the statement you're going to make you believe to be true.
There will be more pressure on Hideki tomorrow to win this tournament than anybody who's ever led a major championship. And because in Japan, if he's the Masters champion, it will be worth $1 billion to him over the rest of his career. Think about this. Opening ceremony is the Olympics, and he walks in his green jacket. Uh-huh. It's going to be unbelievable if he wins.
And he's not yet 30 years old. So you're talking about a lifetime of earnings. No Japanese players ever led the Masters after any round. And he now is
$1 billion.
With a B.
Can we call that the most valuable win all time by any athlete ever?
Yes, we can. I think we can. I mean, listen, this is going to be right up there with the Masters that Tiger Woods won. I think it was in 97. So I just, like, in terms of being able to, you know, expose a whole generation, a whole country to the game of golf, especially at that level where you realize you have a champion that's from your country, I just feel like that's next level. And, you know, everybody's going to jump behind Hideki Matsuyama now that he's had success at the highest level of the sport. So, yeah, I think he's going to be able to parlay that and monetize that into, you know, well into the nine figures and maybe even a billy.
I'd like to disagree, but I don't think that I can. I'm trying to think as Chris is going on with his answer about, like, maybe Michael Phelps or somebody of that ilk, but I don't think so. I mean, one win, one tournament win, and we're talking about $1 billion to be the hero of an entire nation. So I would say that is probably and can be and will be, in fact, the biggest monetary victory in the history of sport.
I'm sitting here racking my brain, too, because I want to disagree, but I'm out of our time. I mean, I put my green lights victory as far as what that's done for me here on Long Island.
Has that raised a large amount of cash flow for you?
More, yeah, like a couple free coffees here and there, which is nice.
Uh-huh.
The only one I could think of, in all honesty, and it's not even close to $1 billion, but it's a career because of a win, was Michael Ruzzioni.
Yeah.
That goal. That pretty much, I mean, he's lived his whole life off that goal.
That's true. But
that win.
It didn't equate to $1 billion.
No, exactly right. So, I mean, it's almost like, how can you answer it any other way? And I don't think any one win is as equated to somebody making $1 billion. So, yeah, I would agree. Canny.
Well done. You guys have touched on this in great detail, so I won't run through all of it with the Mets. But I'll ask you this. After the Stroman tweet yesterday saying this game should have never been played, not smart at all, and then we heard from Luis Rojas. I'll ask you this. Can Luis Rojas handle this Mets team? Can he handle this job?
No, he can't. And it's becoming more and more obvious with each passing game. And as the team continues to struggle, it's more apparent. It's more obvious. So I don't think Rojas is cut out for this team. I think that he was going to be the bridge manager. And then once the new owner, Steve Cohen, and Sandy Alderson got their footing and started their program, they would eventually start the search to find who their next manager is going to be. But Rojas is not long for the Mets as their manager. So I'm going to say he can't handle this team.
I hate agreeing across the board. I don't like it at all, but I'm not gonna play to just being different for different sake. He can. I think it's already obvious he can't handle this. Yeah, he wasn't good last year. It feels like he picked up where he left off. I'm shocked that they kept him as the manager, but no, I'm convinced that he can already.
Yeah, I was shocked as well. I just thought it was going to be a clean start for the entire organization. I just don't know. Here's the one thing I don't know is how involved the front office is with these decisions. I would imagine quite a bit. And Rojas will be the fall guy. But, I mean, from what we've seen so far and what we saw last year, I think he's I do not think he's long for the job.
All right. In the interest of time, I'll skip past this one. Only because I can only imagine the answers are universal. It was, can Dave Rothenberg handle 2 9-week-old puppies in his house? And I think we'd all agree that he cannot.
I would even agree that I probably cannot.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. We all
right.
agree. It's unanimous.
And we come back to the beginning, where we began this journey. Can you name the last quarterback drafted by the Jets to make a Pro Bowl in a Jets uniform? Any guesses?
Well,
a long damn time ago. A long time ago.
So I was brainstorming here. Brett Favre, I think, was a Pro Bowler. Obviously not drafted by
correct.
The Jets. Boomer Esiason, I believe, was a Pro Bowler. Obviously not drafted by the Jets.
Also correct.
And I think the one that RJ might have tried to sneak by us was punter slash quarterback Tom Tupa, I believe, was a Pro Bowler. But also not drafted by the Jets. So the only one that I was able to come up with would be back to the greatest quarterback in franchise history, which would be Joe Willie Namath.
That is incorrect.
I was going to say Ken O'Brien.
That is correct.
Ken O'Brien, nice.
That is correct. Drafted in the first round in 83, he made the Pro Bowl in 1985.
Good
that,
job by you.
That concludes today's outing for us.
Well done,
RJ. Well done.
That is the end of Candy Canty. All right, and that is the end of Chris as well. Chris, have a great time on the other show that you moonlight on, KJZ.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Talk what are you guys doing today instead of Candy Canty? Zoop in?
We're trying to figure out today? Some more segments that we can steal from you guys.
Zoop in or zoop out?
That's a good one.
Well, I'll
I
zoop
like
in on
it.
That one. I'll zoop
I'll
in on that,
that
one.
I'll pitch that one to Evan.
Yeah, they'll love it. They'll eat it up. All right, Chris, have a good
all
time
guys.
On the show. Yeah, we'll... That'll be their post-show meeting today, right? But what are you guys doing on the other show? We do a segment called Candy Canty. Well, we could do key in or key out.
No, you got to go. You got to Key already has his own segments. You got to have Zubin have to have a segment.
A key party kind of segment. That'd be your kind of thing.
That would be my kind of Don's kind of thing. I still don't understand those kind of parties. Like, there's
what
been
do
a bunch
you
of
understand?
Like. Well, in this, you probably know the golf course I'm talking about. There was always like this, like I've heard a bunch of different stories about it. Like those would be the kind of parties that they
like that kind of party
at the
that's
golf
an
course.
Interesting party.
I couldn't. I just don't have the kind of personality where I could do that. There's not a chance I could ever do that.
No, I don't think so either.
Could like you the idea that? Of like. Like the idea of my wife going home with someone else, there's no chance.
Oh, it'd be terrible. Could
no,
you
it'd be awful.
That?
I would.
I began the naked run in 2007.
I could never handle that.
No, I could emotionally. You'd be a wreck.
No, but yeah, but I would never even. I wouldn't even
but
think that was something that I'd be interested
it.
In. No,
apparently
be,
that was a big deal in the 70s.
Yeah, I would have no.
I'd be
I could
so
take,
nervous too. Yeah,
I'm not
no,
that
I'm
way
easy.
Too jealous. I'm way too jealous to do something like that. Way.
Oh yeah,
too
no,
jealous.
you wouldn't be able to handle it.
No. I'm an every night naked guy.
Well, you know what. No, but I there's no way you would do it. I know you well enough to know that there's no way if someone said, would you like to come to a key party, that you would say absolutely not. Take
zero
it.
Chance.
Take it.
No, that would be the last thing that ever crossed my mind.
I'll tell you, I would like to be invited to a key party.
No, but you can't go to a key party
no,
unless
no,
you're
I
willing
want
to
go.
Take part.
I would just like to be invited. Would you like to come to our key party? No, but thank you for thinking of me and inviting me.
Yeah, but it's not like a spectator sport. Like if you go, you're like... You're throwing your keys.
But I'd
in.
Like to mean I would like to know that there are people that out there that would be like, hey, we'd like someone to be with you. Come on.
I actually had a buddy who went down to hedonism by himself. He said it was like he said it was like the best thing he's ever done.
Of course, he went by himself. Isn't that pretty much a couple's thing?
Yeah, he said at one point he just woke up. He was just like in a jacuzzi, like just laying on the side of a jacuzzi naked one night at hedonism.
And he didn't even know how he got there. What happened?
Yeah, spur of the moment. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go down to hedonism. See how that is. But by yourself, I would imagine, is not terrible.
I guess. Oh, I mean, listen, even if you go with a significant other and you're comfortable with that kind of relationship.
That's just not my personality to be able to
no,
do that.
No,
could never
no,
do that.
Because your relationship with your true significant other is irreparably damaged. You have no chance of ever recovering from that.
None. I get jealous when I'm not doing the show with you. I couldn't even imagine doing, like, my radio wife doing his own show on ridiculous hockey show, but it's, I don't even want to get into that.
Early risers will get work.
Yeah.
I mean, who's well that said. Eloquent? You well don't get said. Eloquence like that all over the place.
Never.
That was terrible. All right, so the Knicks last night. You know what? And Chris said it moments ago, and he's right. RJ Barrett, he has had a real, he was okay last year. He's a good player right now. And could you imagine how good he would actually be with a true point guard on this team?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what they're missing. But, I mean, late in games down the stretch, especially the last couple, I mean, he had another big three yesterday, hit a couple big free throws. I mean, and this is...
I would have bet you anything that he wouldn't have hit all three of those free throws on Friday.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man, like, look what this guy's done late in games. And I know, you know, Anthony Edwards was like, oh, this is the guy we wanted to take the shot. But, I mean, he hasn't shied away from the big moments. And he's been clutching the big moments. And that was a huge win against Memphis. I mean, that was a game they shouldn't have won.
Right.
So all those
that was a game they should have lost. They stole it. Last night was a game they should have cruised to. Toronto's lousy. They have nothing to play for. They had a big lead, the Knicks did. And they made that into a game. And they still came up with the big shots down the stretch. They're 500. Rick, this team is 500. And we have less than 20 games to go in the season.
Yeah, no one expected this. And I think it's a testament to the coaching staff. I think what you've seen from Julius Randle, and he hasn't been at the level we saw him previous to the quad injury. He still, like, in the second half, he was not. He hit big free throws down the stretch.
He scored for a while last night in the second half.
I don't think he had a point until 4.5 left in the game.
Yeah, it was a long time.
It was a long time. And no one shot well yesterday. But, I mean, this team is defensively. Look what they did defensively yesterday. I mean, you're talking, Toronto was on back-to-back. Toronto scored 87 points in the first half against Cleveland. 87 points in the first half. The Knicks held them to 42 points in the first half yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So the defense puts them in a position to win these games. And it should, like you said, I mean, it should have been a lot closer. It shouldn't have been nearly as close as it was.
They should have been a laugher in the fourth quarter yesterday.
But this is where they get in trouble. That's what this team is lacking, is that point guard to put them in spots where they can score points, as opposed to Julius Randle starts to try to do too much. He's overhandling the ball. He gets caught up in a double team, turns the ball over. Or it was actually a big turnover last night. Alec Burks had a terrible turnover. Thank God for Pascal Siakam with that ridiculous
double dribble. Yeah.
Because that was an awful.
And he was arguing it, too. I mean, it was clearly a double dribble.
It was clearly a double dribble. He was bad last night. Siakam was not good last night. But, I mean, these guys, you can see, like, RJ Barrett is getting better. Look at his three-point shooting. Remember the beginning of the season, how bad his three-point shooting was?
You didn't want him to take a three.
No, you're like, just let's not take any more threes.
Yeah,
let's work on that in practice, and then eventually incorporate it back into your game.
He's good. He's going to be a really good player.
Well, but especially if he has a legitimate point guard, because I don't love watching him handle the basketball.
No, he doesn't have a great handle. But
he does not have a great handle.
Like I believe they will. I was looking the other day. It was posted by one of the betting sites on Twitter. The money. The odds of where he's going to wind up with the Knicks, Lonzo Ball.
Well, yeah, that's what I had heard at the deadline, and apparently the Pelicans were just asking for way too much, and they're like, why would we give up this now if this is something that, you know, we want and I think he wants when the season is over?
Yeah, I think you get the Pelicans what, twice in the next week now, right?
So yeah, but again, I mean, they don't have an easy schedule, so I mean, they have to take the wins where they can get them. But I think what they've done now is, when you look at where they are in the standings, they've pretty much solidified themselves in the top 10.
They're going to be a playoff team.
They go well. No, it's not considered the playoffs.
Okay, they're going to be in that play-in games or game or games. Right, we know that now. They will be a top 10 seed in the Eastern Conference. You feel confident in that?
Yeah, but if that's going to be the case, if you're not going to be top 6, I would like to remain in the top 8. I want to have to win only one game to get into a real series.
I agree. That would be great. If they won the one game, if they were 7 or 8, won the one game, and just gave you moments in a series, you would feel like this was a tremendous success for this team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Get
tremendous
into a playoff
series. Success.
Because they're going to make it tough. The one thing you will say about this team, whoever they end up playing, if they get into that spot, they're going to make it tough on that team with how hard they play defensively.
Absolutely. Let's go to Emmanuel in Flushing. Good morning, Emmanuel. You're on 98.7 ESPN. Hello.
Well, hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. We're doing fantastic, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Listen, Dave, before I start with the Knicks, I want to thank you and Dave of highlighting what went on yesterday in Minnesota. I really appreciate it, because I know that
You live in a very difficult time, but all I know, all I want is fairness and equality. I really appreciate what you two did earlier in the morning. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But now
I,
mean,
that's what, I think that's what we all want, Emmanuel. And we wanted to bring some, shed some light onto it and let everyone know that we do know what's going on in the real world. So go ahead.
Yeah, I know it's not easy for you. Yes. Listen, I want to say R.J. Barrett is a growing up where he is. And he's only 20 years old, which is amazing. I mean, if you ask me who I would pick to build a franchise, I should put him in that category besides guys like Moran and Zion. Because, and even the less we talk, oh, you think about this. This year, we're going to have like the top picks, two of the top three picks going in the playoff picture, Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett, and not Zion Williamson. How about that?
Yeah, I would be hard-pressed to agree with that.
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I mean, you're right. Zion probably won't be making it, and the other two probably will. But would you rather have R.J. Barrett or Zion right now?
Zion.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, and I would rather have. I mean, Ja Morant. I mean, that should. I still can't believe he missed that shot at the end of the game.
It was in.
That was in. And I mean, it's just one of those moments that, you know, luckily for the Knicks, it didn't go in, and they end up winning that game. But no, I mean, listen, R.J. Barrett has done great. You'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that says that they would take R.J. Barrett, at this moment, would take R.J. Barrett over.
But that's not a knock on R.J. Barrett.
No,
it's not. To say you're the third best player in a draft where the first two guys look like they're going to be, you know, perennial all-stars, that there's no knock in that. He looks really good. Why can't we just judge R.J. Barrett based on what he is? Why do we have to compare him to Zion and Ja Morant?
I don't think we should. I mean, those guys, that in the moment, you were disappointed that you had the third overall pick.
Yes.
And it wasn't Zion or Ja Morant. Because clearly, I mean, the Knicks need a point guard, and Ja Morant would have been great. But in saying all that, when you've seen what R.J. Barrett has been able to turn himself into, and he continues to get better, and you mentioned he's only 20 years old. Yeah, as a Knicks fan, you have to be excited. How could you not be excited? The guy was an awful three-point shooter. Awful at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, he's turned himself. I think I saw a stat over the last 42 games, he's shooting 46% from three, which is outrageous.
It's great. And you know, when he takes the big shot in the big moment right now, I kind of think even more than Randall maybe, or certainly up there, that's the guy you want to take the shot. Like, that was big shot.
If you're giving him a three from the right corner,
yep.
Like, forget it.
That was a big shot last night. I mean, that iced the game. Those three free throws on Friday night, those were huge shots. Like, he is becoming a clutch player. You know what I also liked, and we can get into it later, is when the Timberwolves were kind of making fun of him when he missed that shot against them. Oh, we wanted him to have the ball. He didn't cower from that. He would, you know what? Okay, fine. Like, he kind of stared them in the eye and said, that's fine. Say it now. You won't say it for long. And a couple of weeks later, he's making the big shot all over the place.
And he continually gets disrespected. You know what I mean? Like, he continually gets disrespected, and I think he takes that to heart. And obviously, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he should. And he's out to prove to people. Here's the one thing I'll say about R.J. Barrett. Is as much as people want to highlight how good individually Zion and Ja Morant are, I would much rather be on a winning team. If Ja Morant, I mean, if R.J. Barrett turns into, you know, a really good player, maybe not at that level, like the Zion Williamson level, but his team consistently wins.
Yep.
That's all you. I mean, that's what I want.
100%.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.